Hey everyone, I'm Rima Khreis, and welcome to This is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace about life and how money messes with it. This week, we've got a fun segment that we call the group chat. That's where we invite a couple friends of the pod to help answer your problems around money and work. For this group chat, we've got two really thoughtful guests, Sam Sanders and Sarah Menendez. Welcome, y'all.
Hello, hello.
Hey, girl.
So Sam, he is an NPR correspondent and the host of It's Been a Minute. His show is a great mix of news and pop culture. It is fun. It is accessible. If you haven't listened to it, you should.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for being on the show.
Of course.
And we've also got Sarah Menendez. Sarah is a product specialist here at Marketplace and one of my favorite coworkers. She's also a really great advice giver. And I know that firsthand because she sits across from me and I bother her a lot with my problems.
Every single day.
Every day.
I love it. No, I love it because I bother her with my problems too.
Yeah, that's
too.
True. Okay. It's a two-way.
Honestly, I think the whole open floor plan is like really tired of us.
They're hard.
It's awful.
They can be hard.
I think everyone knows our problems.
Everyone knows exactly what's going on with our curls at all times.
Okay.
Because it's something we talk about all
give
the time.
Give me some curls. I'm bald.
Yeah,
I could use
we'll
some.
We'll talk about it.
I also love that this is called the group chat because group chats in general stress me out.
Do they?
When I'm on them with my friends. There's always that one friend who like posts 20 times at once,
yeah.
And you're like, I don't know.
And you're like,
know.
Stop. I'm going to mute you.
Yeah.
So are you in any group chats?
Friend. I'm the friend.
Wait,
dude.
That's me.
My friends are sick of me. I'm in several group chats, yeah.
Yeah.
I have like, it's kind of funny because like in my best friends, it's a group of six of us. We have like sub-group chats. There's like the LA faction of the group. And then there's like the all girls. It's just like.
I have three concurrently running group chats right now. All three are about Love is Blind, the Netflix
Wait,
show.
Can we just talk about that for the next hour?
I'm still getting through the circle.
Listen, it's waiting for you whenever you're ready and it's going to blow your mind.
Man.
But I digress.
All right. So today we're going to be a group chat. We're going to help folks. We're going to give them answers to their money and work problems. All right. So I think we can just jump right into it and get into our first question. It comes from our listener, Puel. Here it is.
I'm really curious about what you all think about how open friends should be about their salaries. I've seen friends who earn significantly more than, say, friend X and have that knowledge, but keep ordering expensive items at a restaurant and then ask friend X to pay equally because we're adults now. I want to know, how do I talk with my higher earning friend about being more mindful to other friends' incomes, but without speaking on someone's behalf?
I really love this question because at the heart of it, it's like, should we talk about our salaries with our friends?
So, I say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say yes. I share my salary info with colleagues at work on my same level because I want to make sure they aren't being underpaid compared to what we're both doing.
Yep.
I share my salary with my friends. And I think it's like...
Even if they're not in the industry.
Yeah. My rule, close friends. My rule, though, is like if they aren't, quote unquote, above me in the workplace, I can share it. Mm-hmm. If they're at my level, I should share it. So yeah, get over that, share it.
Yep.
I mean, it is a really good way to help people around you get paid what they should get paid,
first
and foremost. And secondly, it's nothing to be ashamed about.
Yep.
I think we have some intrinsic thought patterns and beliefs caught up in our worth being determined by our salary.
Yeah.
They're two different things. Mm-hmm. I think some of the reticence that we hear in that call is this listener worrying that her income says something about her worth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Two
right.
separate things.
My whole thing is like when she said that the friend was like, split it evenly, we're adults now. I think the adult thing to do is ask for an itemized receipt. Like, honestly. And then at that point, it's like, you pass it around. You're just like, okay, well, I ordered this. I know sometimes that can get cumbersome when you're working in big groups. And at that point, it's like a little bit more tricky.
Right.
But like, I know standard in my friend group is like, whoever is picking up the tab, get an itemized receipt and then, you know, either pass it around and everyone Venmos their appropriate amount or, you know, charge us what's appropriate. If you're a good friend, like you really should be taking into account like what other people's circumstances are. But I also think that there needs to be like an assertment of boundaries. If like that person is not okay with going to the expensive restaurant, like they need to say that.
Or just not go. You can
or not, just not
you
go.
Don't have to go to every meal.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to everything.
It's hard because FOMO.
Yeah,
you know, I will like spend my way through FOMO.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I will definitely do that.
Same. Yeah.
And you, what do you think about all this?
Well, Yeah, I thought about it more in the context of whether or not you should just share your salary with your friends or how open you should be about your financial situation. Like, I do wrestle with the larger question of how transparent we should be, because mm-hmm. I agree with you, Sam, that in the end, like with work colleagues, this mm-hmm. is like a new thing for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should be transparent. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. it only helps others. It helps me in the end, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. it's good for everyone. But with friends, like I've been in situations where it's come up and
how has it come up?
Well, it reminds me, like, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend, and we were talking about budgeting and finances and whatever, and somehow the conversation evolved to a place where we were looking through our paychecks, and she was like,
okay,
yeah.
okay.
Literal.
Okay, my God.
No, I'm being serious. Like, this was over the phone, because we were both, like, stressing out about our money all of a sudden, oh. and then it just turned into that.
Oh, my God.
And then we were like, wait, how much do, you know, how much are taxes, how many, you know, we were just yeah. trying to figure out all
yeah.
the details.
Yeah.
And then it came to the point where we, like, I guess, asked each other how much the other person was making.
And that felt uncomfortable for
oh,
you.
Yeah. And
why?
I was like,
why do you think it did?
Because I didn't want it to, like, I didn't want her to resent me. I didn't want to resent her. I didn't want there to be, like, any weird.
She, you're not her partner or her sibling.
True,
or
true.
Like, y'all, yeah. What does what you make affect what she mm-hmm. makes?
Right.
Y'all
in theory, it shouldn't
related,
matter. But then it's like, then I don't want it to, like, be the lens through which
that's
either
of us
see
do you
each
feel
other.
Like it colors the rest of your interactions?
Right.
How long have y'all been friends?
Like a year. It's a newfound friendship.
Okay.
But it's more so that, like, you know, if we go to outings together, if we do things
yes.
together, then does it shift, like...
Probably makes it easier to plan. So you know how yeah. much to accommodate for.
You know what they're working with.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, so all that said, I was yes. nervous about it. We traded. It was fine. I forgot about it until this very moment. I forgot. So it doesn't... Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the things you're afraid to say, you should just say them.
Wow.
That is, like,
that's
always the permanent advice. Like, just say it. If it's yeah. true, say it.
Yeah. Speak your truth. All right.
Okay.
Next question. It comes from our listener, Nick. Here it is.
Hey, guys. I'm uncomfortable when it comes to deciding the line between indulgence versus quality purchases. Is buying the fancy olive oil too much of an indulgence? Should I be guilty about spending $25 on one new pair of underwear instead of buying a pack of three for the same price? Should I feel guilty about buying good seats instead of the cheap ones for one of my favorite bands? My parents rarely took us out to eat without some sort of coupon. We usually got the cheapest seats when going to sports games. They were also avid coupon clippers. I believe in being frugal, but I also want to enjoy things and get good quality stuff without a feeling of guilt. Help.
Go first. Oh,
go
time.
For it, Sarah.
Nick can have a little indulgence come as
on.
A treat.
Come on. As
know?
A treat. Yes.
He deserves it. I think, oh my God, I wish I felt more like this. I'd truly be going into Target and buying everything in the name of self-love and self-care.
Right.
I think that a lot of this is like a holdover of like his parents, mm-hmm. What they've imparted on
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I have talked
yeah.
about this, Rima, about like feeling like you have to justify purchases to your parents, even when
oh,
you're not,
sure.
you don't live with them anymore. You know, it's not their money, it's your money,
yeah.
but you still feel like a little bit of like, how am I going to justify this spending to
right.
my parents?
Remember that one time I told you I bought like a jumper and it was way too much money.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, how much did you pay for it?
Yeah,
and I literally cut in half.
Yeah, I do
and
the
I was
same
like,
thing.
Why did I do that?
Really?
I do the same thing all the time. Like when they tell me like, oh, I'm traveling to go see my friends here. Oh, how much for plane tickets? I'll literally cut it like by $100.
Your parents ask y'all that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it comes
up. I wish
my
mama would. I wish she would.
So there's a little bit of that going on, right? But this is his own money. And I think that like the solution for this, like absolving yourself of the guilt is like really thinking to yourself, what makes me happy? If what makes you happy is cooking, then get that, you know,
yeah.
get that $25
yeah.
off. It makes you happy. For me, it's music. And I totally resonate with that. I will splurge on the VIP tickets
true.
For my favorite
I
band
know.
Because, yes, you know.
So you're taking me to Coachella.
Dude, I'm trying not to. See, here's the problem is I'm trying not to
but
go to five
Franco.
Festivals, you know,
oh,
like I did
yeah.
last year. But find what you love and
mm-hmm.
be willing to
mm-hmm.
spend something on it.
Yeah.
yeah. What do you think, Sam?
When I heard this question, it made me think, well, this is more than just buy the nice thing or not the nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if there's a larger issue of, like, money management throughout his month.
Yes.
So my advice to you would be every pay cycle, every month,
yes.
however you do it, sit down and say, this much money goes to savings, this much money goes to retirement, this much money goes to rent, whatever, and the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
I can do whatever
mm-hmm.
I want to with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have that fun little playscape
mm-hmm.
money,
mm-hmm.
and then you can spend all of that money, if you
mm-hmm.
want, on just olive oil.
You're right.
Because you've taken care of the other stuff.
So gallons, like, of it.
You know? So, like, I am more comfortable splurging on Sam when I know that I have saved X amount of money for the month.
Yes. Yeah.
I also think... Yeah. I was picking up on something else. He used the word guilt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing some guilt and shame in there about how he chooses to live his adult life.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of work we all have to do about convincing ourselves that what we want is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wanting things is okay. And what we want might not be what our parents want. But at a certain point, you're grown. And you just like what you like.
Right, right. I really resonated with this question because, did I tell you this, Sarah? Just last week, I like was feeling really low and like stressed out. And so I just went on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I...
The devil is busy, Rima. The devil...
So I bought a scalp massager.
You know what? You got 10 scalp massages on your hands right now. Just rub your own head.
I got a Himalayan body scrub. I got an essential oils diffuser. Well, so then afterward, I like felt really good about it in the moment. And then like a week later, this week, I was like, man, I was literally looking at the body scrub this morning. I was like, why did I spend $30 on this? And I felt really guilty. And then I thought about it. I was like, why do I feel guilty? And it's because I feel like that money should go to more important and bigger things. Mm. But then it's like, to your point, I don't know sometimes because I'm not budgeting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if I just have a better sense of my finances, then I won't feel as guilty about those things.
Also, the most important, biggest thing is like you. It's your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Americans particularly work really, really hard for our money. So
you're right.
Take care of you. What is this supposed to be called?
What's his name? Nick. Nick.
I will go to the store with you and buy the fancy olive oil and get some truffle oil too. It's very nice.
Yes.
Get the good seats, Nick.
Yes.
Coming up after the break, we get into more questions, including one about the very pricey, demanding job of being a bridesmaid. All right, so we've got a question from our listener, Nadine. She said, being a bridesmaid is a huge financial burden. How do you kindly tell a friend that you don't have financial capacity to take that role on? You've been a bridesmaid,
yes,
right?
Yes, I've been a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So I looked up something earlier because I was just trying to see what like the average cost is.
It's crazy.
$1,200 to
wait for a bridesmaid.
Yeah, yes. Like when you combine all the costs.
Wait, that even
sounds
low to me.
I know.
That sounds low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. How many times have you been bridesmaids?
I've only been bridesmaid once.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much did you spend?
Over $1,000.
Wow.
Right, because I mean, you travel. There's the dresses. There's the gifts.
Yes.
There's.
What, you get them gifts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then no.
Wait, hold up. They don't give you a gift?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to go off.
Go for it.
Okay.
Just go off.
So here's the thing. In our culture, being a bridesmaid has become increasingly more expensive.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you're familiar with all the bachelorette trips that happen, but it's like, and you know, to be fair to my friend, dear friend Stephanie, I love you. She did not make us go to Cabo or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
But I know that like that's increasingly a trend as more and more brides are like asking, in addition to you being a bridesmaid, right? And then having to pay for the dress and the makeup and probably traveling to wherever the wedding is,
right.
Unless you're lucky to have a hometown wedding.
And the dress
wedding,
is always ugly.
Yeah, the dress.
Yeah.
Always ugly. You know, shoes, jewelry, etc. All that and a gift, to your point.
Right.
In addition to all that, you're also planning for a trip. Like, a lot of times, you're planning for a vacation as well. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, an entire ordeal that, like, for some people, like, takes over a lot of your year if you're, like, planning in advance for this stuff. I think that a lot of times in these situations, it gets difficult to, like, set your boundaries of saying like, I'm not willing to do this, right? Yeah. I think I got really lucky. We were able to say like, we're not going to pay for hair and makeup. I can do my own hair and makeup, you know? And she was totally fine with that. But I think that...
Because that's expensive.
Wait, like, she was going to have a makeup artist and hair person hired and then split that cost with you?
We were going to pay for it.
She wasn't going to eat that cost for y'all?
No. They don't eat it. Because
it's expensive.
Because it's like, it's going to be at least $250 with makeup and hair.
Yep.
Or like, maybe like $150
to $250. Maybe $150, yeah, something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because it is really expensive. expensive. I mean, it's like depending on how many girls you have in your party, that's like a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
So I get it. I get why, like, you know, the bridesmaid in that situation would pay for it. We opted not to. That was fine. I've heard other bride nightmare stories where they're like, you have to get it because we're going to all have the same eyeshadow color and the same lashes and the same curls and the little hair piece thing. And if you don't get it, you're not being a team player.
I really feel like it's on the bride to be more mindful of people's financial circumstances.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do y'all remember that thing that went viral a couple years back? There was like a bridesmaid who couldn't make all the events. She couldn't go on the bachelorette trip or like be there for the whole weekend. And so she like posted this email that the bride sent her, and the bride was like, this is really hard for me to do, but I have to ask you to relinquish your duties as a bridesmaid.
Oh, God.
Do y'all? I don't know.
That's crazy.
Please give me your letter of resignation.
No, she said, please email back the jumper. Or mail back the jumper.
Oh, my God. Can I tell y'all how many times I've been a groomsman and it's been so easy? So, like, I've been a groomsman, gosh, 4 or 5 times now. The worst it's been, I have to rent a tux for the weekend. That's no more than $100. But after that, everything is taken care of. If there's an event before, they have the food and drinks. they give me nice gifts when I'm a groomsman. I got a really nice flask from my friend Brent's wedding. I still have it. It's beautiful. Oh. I use it. And I also, my rule is, if I have to travel to get to your wedding and then pay for a hotel room once I'm there, I don't give you a gift.
Mm. Yeah, that's totally
I just
fair.
Don't.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
I don't do it because, like, I'm already spending, like you say, close to a grand to go on vacation. A vacation
totally
I did not choose.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't choose your location.
You're eating up your vacation days.
Yes, yes.
You know? Yeah.
So I just think you just have to be blunt. And to any of my friends listening whose weddings I've been to, yeah, you never got a gift from me. Sorry about it. But, like, say it.
I appreciate
and just,
that.
Like, yeah. I mean, I also, like, in terms of advice for this woman, I mean, like, is there a way, I don't know, y'all are the bridesmaids, how would you navigate that?
I think I was thinking about this. I think that there's a way to say, and obviously, you know, each bride is different, and wherever they're at on their journey of planning a wedding, it might be a different response. But I think it's totally fair to say, hey, I'm really honored that you asked me to be a bridesmaid. I don't think I can either participate at all or participate in everything, depending on what your financial situation is, right? And say, you know, I might not be able to make it to the trip, or, you know, make it to or pay for my makeup, but I can, you know, still buy a dress, you know.
And you can show up in other ways, right?
Exactly.
Like, you can, like, lend your time.
Exactly.
You can, like, there's so many decisions
you can
to
say,
be made
like,
at, for a wedding.
You can easily say, let me know how else I can help you with the wedding.
Right.
Let me know how else I can be of service to the wedding.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a way to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I just think that it depends on the bride.
Right. And I think to the brides out there, they should just be, like I said, more mindful.
Please,
like, one of my
ladies.
Friends, she wanted to do a bachelorette, but she felt, like, bad asking folks to, like, shell out hundreds of dollars. So we just did a staycation.
Yeah.
It was nice. All right. Let's move on to the next question. All right. Here it is.
So my boyfriend and I have been living together for about 4 years. And since then, he's pretty much paid for everything, like most of our dates and even our rent. He has a really large trust fund and insists that I put money that I make from my part-time job towards my student loans. Now, I'm about to start a PhD program, and he's still insisting that I not put money towards the rent. This has obviously been great for my financial situation, but I'm feeling kind of like a freeloader, which makes me feel uncomfortable. I love him, and we talk about getting married, but I have misgivings about the situation. What do you all think? Should I be happy with this situation and get rid of my student debt, or keep pushing to pay some of the rent?
I don't see a problem here.
That's like a great problem to have.
Send your problem to me. He could come live downtown with Sam. Pay my rent. I'll go get a PhD. I don't see a problem.
Also, like, one of the things that clicked as soon as I heard this is, like, he's asking you to put money down in your student loans, and then you guys are talking about marriage. That's because he doesn't want to carry your debt. Like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, this is for his happiness. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he's investing in his happiness, their relationship.
Yeah.
I think the only way that this could be problematic is if he uses the money to
like hold it over him
hold
or something,
it over of course. Him, or to manipulate something, or you know, if it becomes an imbalance in the if it messes up the power dynamic at all. Yeah. But it doesn't sound
it
like
sound
it.
Like that.
It sounds like a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Also, what you can do is find other ways to, in your mind, repay him. Like,
right.
Save your own money to buy him nice gifts from time
go
to time.
Go on a trip together.
Buy him a vacation.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There are ways to feel like you're giving him something without paying the rent, which he clearly wants to pay. Just let him pay the rent. Well, also, I would say, like, save on your own. Like, so if down the road y'all want to buy a house together, you can say, I can actually chip into this down payment.
Right.
And you'll feel very good about that. So the money he's allowing you to save now, save it with him in mind.
Right.
And there might be a moment down the road to give it back to him in some way.
Also, on the flip side, definitely save on your own in case it does go south.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
you know, like, but they're going to be in love forever.
I know. I mean, man, would it sounds like a dream, but might be too good to be true. Because if they do ever get into a situation where, you know, his partner's holding it over him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he wants to get out of the relationship and he's like, I have nowhere to go.
And he might have no credit history.
Exactly.
Like, you also want to have a credit history. Like,
well, he does if he's paying his loans off.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
That does build credit. Okay. That's how I have really great actually, I should know.
But, what's this man's name?
It's an anonymous person.
Okay. Anonymous, keep your good thing. Keep your good thing.
Yeah. Don't feel bad.
All right. Last question.
Okay.
So I'm going to read this one. Someone wrote in asking, a while back, I lent a friend money a few times, totaling around $1,000. It was always for something super valid, like paying rent or because a work check was late. They paid me back about half of it, and I've never asked about it or really questioned it. Recently, I've realized that in the time since I loaned the money, they've also bought expensive designer apparel, weekend trips, and tickets to shows. It made me question whether they even value our friendship. And I wonder, when you loan someone money, what say do you have in how they spend it? Are we sympathizing with her?
No.
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 Not at all.
Oh, wow.
I
kind of sympathize. Okay. But go for it. Go Sarah.
She didn't set any like boundaries or timeline.
Exactly.
When she did pay her back, right? Because she paid her back some of it.
Yeah.
When she did pay her back some of it, she never said anything about the rest of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she left that part out, like unless she did. But to me, it's like you don't have any say.
You don't have
any say.
So if I came to you tomorrow
all.
And I'm like, hey, can you give me $500?
And I gave you $500.
First of all, I just wouldn't give you $500.
let me back up.
First of all, I know you just bought a lot of stuff on Amazon. And I'd be like, girl, return all that first, then come talk to me.
Return that scalp massage.
I have a rule about loaning money because I've loaned money before to friends and family, people close to me, my family. The first time you loan someone something, you see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Do they pay me back?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take?
Mm-hmm.
Let that inform your decision to give them a loan
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are certain people in my life where I've just gotten over any pretense of it being a loan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just paying.
You're giving them the money.
There's a friend who always ends up on the group vacations when I plan them. And she's I just know going in when I send a little itemize, everyone knows this.
You're not going to see that money.
And she knows it, and I know it, and it's okay. Like, I would just say in general, the first loan is a loan.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't repay you the right way, everything you give them after that is a gift.
Yep.
It's a gift.
Yes.
And think of it as such.
Yes.
Would you sympathize with her more if the friend agreed that she'd pay her back?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And if they talked about
when
terms.
And how.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if it was like a, hey, you know, pay me half by this time and then half by the other time, you know, then it's like, okay, it's been, you know, 30 days. Where's my money? But I think that, in this situation, it's just kind of like, if maybe you shouldn't have lent her money to begin with if you weren't comfortable with how this turned out.
Right. Also, if it's eating you up this much inside, just bring it up to her.
Yeah.
And what I would
for
say.
For sure.
I'd be like, hey, we haven't talked about it in a while, but it's kind of eating me up, so I want to just say it and speak it so it's out there.
Yep.
You never pay me back for this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and suck it up. It's fine, but just know that, like, that was some tension for me, and I'm trying to get over it.
Right. I think we got through all the questions.
All right.
That was really great. Thank y'all so much.
Special
I really appreciate it.
Special thanks to the man paying his man's rent.
Oh, my God.
I'll never forget you. What special Tinder was he on? Jesus.
Thanks so much, Sam Sanders and Sarah Menendez.
Thanks, Rena.
Let's do this again.
Yes.
All right, that's all for this week's show. If you've got a question you want to share with the group chat, you can shoot us a note at uncomfortable@marketplace.org. This is Uncomfortable is me, Rima Khreis, Megan Dietry, Haley Hirschman, Peter Balanon-Rosen, and Daisy Palacios. Our intern is Daniel Martinez. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Charlton Thorpe is our engineer. Editing by Sarah Kramer. Satara Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deb Clark is the senior vice president and general manager of Marketplace. And our theme music is by Wonderly. All right, I'll catch y'all next week.